Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast. We're live from Amarillo, Texas, in podcast 343, sitting outside a Starbucks just off of I-40. And I'm going to post two podcasts tonight from this Starbucks. It is Saturday night. I think it's Saturday night. And I just want to get this done and get it posted. Why do I come to Starbucks? Just so people know, I'm not doing this as an advertisement, although I should, but I'm doing it from Starbucks because they have fast upload speeds with their internet, and it's free and it's easy. So rather than stopping at a truck stop and doing this, I'm doing it from the Starbucks, and I'm sitting here in my podcast ambulance, the podcast remote command unit, and doing this podcast. And this is some of my experiences from the day. So that is what we're doing. Podcast 343, of course, sponsored by Bockland R&D. You know, I talk a lot about manufacturing on the Bob Davis Podcast. So let's talk very quickly about manufacturing and Bockland R&D. Lots of developments at Bockland so far in the new year. You guys know how close John and I are. I mentioned him a couple of times in thanking some of the sponsors. If you're interested in the manufacturing business or are interested in what Bockland does, an updated all-new Bockland.com can show you. First of all, John Bockland's going to be hosting a webinar on March 31st on Bockland.com, which will focus on 3D printing for production, planning, and tooling. And because it's part of the philosophy of Bockland R&D, check out the links to Tara Bockland's Healthy Life blog. They are known for taking the guys out to lunch, but always eating healthy, and Tara is a big part of that. Living healthy for all of Bockland's employees is central to the value use for the company that we've discussed in some of the other podcasts. Remember, wicked fast turnaround times, innovative solutions, real client service, real resources about Bockland at Bockland.com. And remember to contact Joe Dorn or Andy Black at Bockland.com and find out what they can do for you. Find out what energy, wisdom, knowledge, and imagination can do for your company today. Bockland.com, Bockland.com. So, let's get on with podcast 343. Well, it's Friday night, Saturday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. We are about 20 miles from Wichita, Kansas, headed towards Oklahoma. 35. Let's talk about the condition of the highway. Now, this particular road that I'm on is it's a toll road. It's kind of a cut. It cuts down from, I don't know what town that was, because I don't remember, all the way down to Wichita, about 80 to 100 miles. So that's where we are now. And then south of Wichita, we'll probably stop. I love this cruising down the middle of the country because things really start to spread out. You know, we're starting to get into a little bit of kind of a hilly scrub, but basically Kansas is a big empty state, and we know this by looking at the map, but when you're here, I mean, that doesn't mean there aren't people here and that there aren't towns and stuff, but it's always interesting to me, even when you're in Minnesota, which is a big state, and it's certainly not, you know, it doesn't feel empty. Wisconsin doesn't feel empty. You know, this is big sky country, kind of. You know, this is kind of like Montana in a weird sort of way, in the sense that it's just open, even in the dark. And the further south you go, the more, you know, the more sort of southwestern it gets, which is kind of cool. We just passed a little lake called El Dorado Lake, and now we're heading into Butler. And we're going 70 miles an hour, and the podcast command unit continues to just deliver mile after mile after mile. Very exciting. 169 miles from Okie City, Oklahoma City. One of the things that's always been interesting to me is how people in different states are different. Definitely tell you're in a different state from Minnesota. When I was in Iowa yesterday, I noticed that, you know, maybe it's because I live in the Twin Cities, but the Iowans are different looking. They look different than Minnesotans. Kansans look different from Minnesotans. They talk different. I did stop. That's right. It was Kansas City where I was coming from. I did stop in Kansas City. And went to a Starbucks. It's just an odd Starbucks on a Friday night. Mostly teenagers and some guy that was talking about sports. Once again, you know, it's this whole thing about what's going on out here in the world. And obviously, until I dismount the vehicle and start talking to people. And then it's just their word against someone else's in terms of what's actually going on. But I think the really cool way to find out what's going on in the world is to listen to other people's conversations. It's one of the things I love to do is eavesdrop and hear what people are talking about. And, you know, tonight I was working, so I really, you know, didn't listen to conversations. But the snippets that I did hear, you know, they were talking about high school sports. They were talking about a basketball game or something, or a football game tonight. Probably not a football game, but some kind of game at, you know, some school in Kansas City. And it's always interesting to me. People always think of Kansas City as a big city, and I suppose at one time it was a big city. But Kansas City is Market 36. It's really not a big city. Minneapolis and St. Paul is 15, 14 or 15. Seattle's 14 or 15, 13. Dallas is 7, I think, or 8. You know, so Kansas City is not a very big town. In fact, Oklahoma City may actually be bigger than Kansas City now. I think that's interesting. Wichita. I call it Wichita, but I'm sorry, Wichitans. It's Wichita. Coming into Wichita. Exit 53, 75 miles an hour. By the way, you might hear this weird banging. For a while, I thought there was somebody in the car with me, and I figured out that there are two whip antennas still on top of the roof, and they're banging around up there in the wind. It's very windy tonight. I'm headed to just when the wind just gets just right, they'll whack the top of the ambulance. They're right up behind the cab, so that's what is making that sound. I just had the first really good sleep in the podcast ambulance, whatever this thing is called, that I've had. I just slept for about six hours, so I'm just drinking my coffee. Just got my coffee from the truck stop right here. Time to get this thing fired up. Exhaust fan. So turn the heat on, man. Actually, not that cold. Beautiful evening. Spent here at some truck stop, the Kanza truck stop in. I don't think we're on the Oklahoma. I don't think we're just on the Oklahoma state line. So we're in far western Kansas, southwestern Kansas, and if I was in a car, I would have had to sleep on the seat, or I would have had to go into a hotel, you know, so that's how I save money that way, you know, because I can hang out in here. Fantastic. We're 95 miles approximately from Oklahoma City and then 40. So I thought I was going to go to Dallas, but I don't have to go that far. So I just go to Okie City and jump on 40. And that goes across New Mexico, well, across what remains of Oklahoma at that point. I guess that's most of it. That's a good half of the state or a quarter of the state. Then New Mexico on into the Phoenix area. So that'll be my first long-term stop. Just chill out and try to figure out the electricity issue and some other things. So this is good. This is not taking as long as I thought it was going to take in terms of travel. And, you know, because I'm used to traveling, I was just thinking about this morning. I'm used to traveling and, you know, the interest is speed. Like, how long is it going to take me to get from, like, right now I'd be going 90, you know, 85 in the Crown Vic. Because the whole thing is, how fast can I get from point A to point B? And that takes its toll. I mean, I've done that a bunch of times. It's fun, but and you know, you sleep in the car. It's just not good. This was the first, you know, this was the first long-term sleep that I've had in this, and it's really relaxing. It's nice to just take it easy. I can only go. So I could go. I can go 75, but I don't want to go too fast in this thing. At some point you're driving along and you're just like, you know, things are flying around in here, or they seem like they're flying around, banging and everything else. I don't need to be going 80 miles an hour on this thing. In fact, I don't think I've even had it up to 80 yet, and I don't intend to. So it's a much more leisurely approach to travel, which I think is good. Everything is good. All systems are go. We're still on the... Let's see, I've had, this is the second, I think it's the second tank of gas, diesel, pardon me. So, I would say the mileage is probably pretty good. I have a brake ABS light that goes on every now and then, but I have that on my Crown Vic. I don't care, it doesn't make any difference. So, absolutely, everything is absolutely tight. I have no issues with oil pressure or heat, you know, engine, you know, heat or anything else. For those of you who have been sending me emails regarding diesels and care and feeding of the diesels, that's great. So two podcasts on this Saturday, March 28th, 2015. I was just thinking, I was talking about getting out into the middle of the country and traveling on the in the middle of the country, which is just rolling. We're now in Oklahoma, which is just, I don't know how you would describe this. I'm sure people have Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping across the plain. It's just the plains, basically. Some rolling hills, you know, here and there. I was just on the Kaw Indian Reservation, which is, I don't know how big that is, but there's a casino there and a... I stopped at the gas station there, Kanzi Gas, I don't know what that is. And it's funny because I don't expect suddenly answers to appear floating in the sky just because I'm driving through the middle of the country. Sometimes I think a lot of people do these road trips where I guess I kind of led that impression. I don't mean to, but the idea is that you just drive and suddenly answers are going to come to you. I don't think, you know, answers about what ails the nation. I love the guys from the New York Times that go on the road trips. I don't know who it was recently who worked for the Tribune that went on a road trip and came back with this dark, just... This dark, oh, this is what's going on in this country, and the roads are terrible and everything else. You know, I'm on 35, which is probably, it's probably one of the most traveled interstates in the United States. I haven't really noticed any bad roads. Most of them have been really good. There's been a couple of rough spots, but on balance, here's another, this is another major artery that I followed pretty much from beginning to end. And don't see any issues with the roads. Somebody sent me, somebody made a note on Facebook and said, well, where do you get to Texas? You know, the roads are terrible in Texas. Well, unless I come back that way. For those of you in Dallas awaiting my arrival, I'm turning right about 150 to 200 miles before I get to Texas. So we're skipping Texas on this run. But I don't think it's that answers appear to you about the many questions that people have in individual states and about the country. I think it's just the nature of rolling through all this and traveling and seeing how big everything is. Start to understand how big the country is, and I think about history. I think about that again a couple times last year when I went through Montana and parts of the West. You think about the people that originally settled that area, you understand why it's a little different than Massachusetts or Illinois even. And Illinois has the same. The funny thing is that the whole country has this sort of history of being settled at some point. You know, Massachusetts was an outpost. You know, these were colonies. Of course, today, Massachusetts, New York, those are well-established bastions of civilization. And this is the frontier out here, Oklahoma, you know, West Texas, that part of the country. The cool thing is gas is cheap. $2.35 a gallon for diesel, something like $2.15 for gasoline. So if you're coming down this way, this is a good time to do it because gas is cheap. But no, I don't expect to have any answers up here other than the answers that would appear within. And I do and will probably talk to some people just for fun. I'm not sure why or how yet, but you know, just think of your own state. Think of individuals in your own state and the things that they say and ask. Well, you know, would they have any answers to life's burning questions? They'd have an opinion. We all have an opinion. So, you know, traveling down to the highways and the byways and the small towns of America don't necessarily yield answers. If anything, they yield more questions. You know, and as you travel, you just kind of, you have thoughts. And that's why it's always great to travel with kids. Because they ask questions and you answer the questions and you realize how little you know. You know, what's that thing? Well, that's an oil, that's one of those oil derrick things. That's what, I'm just passing a bunch of those. What does that do? Where do these people come from? What's the Kaw Nation? That kind of stuff. That, I don't know what the Kaw Nation is. You know, apparently it's an Indian reservation. Indians named Kaw, the Kaw people. I guess, I don't know. I should look that up on Wikipedia. Well, honey, you look that up on Wikipedia. It'll tell you. You don't need to know anything. Once again, the thought occurs to me, you know, the supposedly this is the part, this is the great middle of the country, you know, where people are so heavily put upon, carrying the burden that we're, this is going to be one of the big elections of 2016, election issues of 2016, this idea that the average person, the middle class person is just bearing up under this burden. And you drive through these areas, you stop, whether it's Kansas or Oklahoma City, Iowa, you know, all the way up through the middle of the country, Minnesota, and I imagine down in Texas. I'm not going to say that I don't see it. I'm not going to say that I don't see people that are, you know, experiencing challenges in their life. But you know, this isn't the Dust Bowl, okay? This isn't the Depression, or as my mom calls it, the depression. This is, I see people driving relatively new cars. They seem well clothed. They certainly seem well fed, especially in Iowa. I'm not, you know, seeing this great put upon middle class that everyone's talking about. I think what we all would like is more dynamic economic growth. 2.2% in the last quarter, revised downward, I believe, maybe. I think it was 2.6, then 2.3. The final number is 2.2. I don't know what the first quarter is going to be. People having to pay a higher penalty or taxes or recompensate the federal government for subsidies they were given to buy health care and finding out they earned more money than they thought. You know, I had a good year. I earned a lot more money than I thought that I would earn. And subsequently, there's going to be some, I'll have to pay more tax. So that's kind of the deal. You just kind of, you're kind of riding along thinking about these things. So you're going to hear a lot about the middle class and how put upon the middle class is. And the thing that you notice when you're out driving around and doing what you do is people don't need to be supervised. You know, they're not children. You know, certainly there are problems, and we concentrate in this country so much on problems. All of the drama is concentrated on, you don't have any drama if you don't have a problem, right? So everybody's got a drinking problem, or they're a bad person, or they did something bad, or every show. And I'm really, we were talking about this at yoga the other day. I'm really getting tired of it. You know, it's fascinating, but how many zombies can you kill? And I love those shows. I mean, I love The Walking Dead. I just started watching Bloodline. Bloodlines or Bloodline on Netflix. It's another Netflix show. Very dramatic. About a family. And what I like about it is none of the people on the show have any redeeming qualities, really. True Detective is another one where, you know, people are shown. And if you're writing, it's really a challenge to show multi-dimensions in characters. You know, to show people's dark sides and their positive, their good sides. Because human beings have both. We have dark sides and we have light sides. We have the highest aspirations and we have the lowest, because that's what being a human being is all about. And that's the struggle, whether people are religious or not religious, or they are good or they're bad. You know, obviously there are criminals, and then there are just regular people. But we don't need supervision. People are going to do what they do. You know, what they need is a job. They need to be able to plot their own course. They need to be able to engage in commerce or have a job, as I said, and go be able to do with their money what they want. And they should be able to keep as much of it as possible. And there are things that are in the public comments that people, you know, agree that they should pay for. But more and more you see the hand of government, whether it's the state or the federal or the local governments. And, you know, I've been dealing with this a lot. In fact, I'm going to do a podcast about these people up at Invergrove. And that one ended very positively, speaking of high aspirations, with people working together with developers and the city to work out a problem so that they didn't lose their houses. So it works if you work it. You know, if we're able to work and do what we do, we can proceed. And this is what liberty is all about. I mean, I don't see this great duress. And I know there's duress in Oklahoma and Kansas. I know there are people who are struggling. But when you're driving down the backbone of the Midwest, 35, and you stop in these little places along the road, I mean, I'm not going into these towns. I mean, I've seen some pretty challenged towns when I was up in Montana last fall, but I also saw some great little towns. Butte, Montana is a good example. You know, places like Kansas City. You know, I went to the Starbucks in Kansas City. I was going to go to a yoga place, but I was too late. You know, the only thing that bothers me, I guess, but really it shouldn't bother me because I didn't have to make the decision, is the neighborhoods per se are all built around national franchises. you know, so that gets a little old. But we can fix that. You know, there's ways to deal with that. If that's what bothers you. I mean, I know that there's local business in those places, but this is how, you know, when you're driving through suburban areas, and I was driving through Lenexa and, you know, that part of Kansas City. Hello to you people in Kansas City who happen to see the Bob Davis podcast command vehicle and Googled. Those are little older suburbs, most of them built probably in the late 40s, early 50s. It looks like America. You know, it's people have cars, they live on streets, they have nice houses for the most part. You know, I didn't go into the ghetto in Kansas City, but you know, when you talk about these areas of markets, and I will speak of, you know, I've lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time. I lived in Pittsburgh. I lived in, obviously, Minneapolis for most of my life, actually, now. Long time. There are always poor areas. And the thing I think that, in terms of the national discourse, is that people need to think about is, why should we be focused on these areas where there really aren't that many people? I mean, certainly the population density in Oklahoma is not as great as it is on the south side of Chicago. But I don't see how people are that different in south side of Chicago or north Minneapolis, let's say, or, you know, north Pittsburgh than anywhere else. You know, they're going to act in their own self-interest, and they're going to, they want the same things everyone else wants. They want a job. We partition the nation by color and by class. And it's the media that's doing it, and it's academia that's doing it. Singling out groups of people and saying, this is the situation with this group of people. This is the situation with that group of people. And this generation, and the one that follows, we're very sensitive to these class differences that really Americans, in my experience, didn't think too much about. We celebrated our differences. You know, well, this guy came from a poor background and he made it, or this guy is came from a rich family and he's an oil worker or something. I don't know. We celebrated our differences. We didn't hide from our differences. Somebody wrote a piece recently about Ted Cruz, and I just want everyone to know, I'm not bigging up Ted Cruz. I'm not talking about, you know, a divider, not a uniter. You know, it's our responsibility to unite. But we don't, the vision of the country as a single, homogeneous, united unit has never been reality. We've never been a homogenized, single unit. We've always been a restless people looking over the next hill, trying to figure out where we're going to go next. Look at me. I think about it, and I'm no different from anybody else. I'm constantly thinking about, what am I going to do next? And some people who have jobs where they don't have to worry about getting fired, those of you not in radio, you know, those of you not working for big corporations that are constantly doing reductions in force, who have jobs, government jobs, let's say, they're thinking about where they're going to go fishing next year, or, you know, whether or not they're going to live long enough to see their grandchildren grow up, or how to raise their kids. So people are constantly thinking about these different things. And I'm so tired of being divided into groups and being told that we should be united. We are a united nation. You know, we're part of the same federal system called the United States of America. The United States of America. It used to be these United States of America. That changed with the dictator Lincoln. But we're under the same federal system. We think of ourselves as a nation. Why should we be constantly told that we need to, you know, scrub away all of our differences? I don't agree with some people. This is the whole thing about that Invergrove Heights thing, which will probably be either this podcast or the next podcast, or this one will air after that one. And we were talking about how those people. You know, it's funny, I'm sitting here talking and my speed is creeping up. So now I'm going over 70, like 75, and I really need to get out of the boogie lane. I'm so used to going 80 that But anyway, boy, it vibrates a little bit at this speed. I got to get over. Stand by, stand by. Lane change imminent. Now I forgot what I was saying. It was great, though. Why should we erase our differences? Why should we be forced to erase our differences and be one people? We all come from different places, and we are different people, and we think differently about different things. But you know, we're not one people. That's not really an American vision. And that's something to really think about as we head into this decision period. And then the other thing, I just want to make this point before I go on too long, because I'm glad I'm talking about the political world in a more philosophical way and not specifically, because the thing I think that's so fatiguing is the coverage of an individual and what an individual is doing today, and we aren't even in that season. We're going to choose a president. I suppose I could say, you know, how consequential can a president be? I mean, we're seeing what happens when a president really pushes it in terms of what he wants to accomplish and do. But he's going to be gone, and you can see signs of that being gone thing already. And then we'll have new challenges. A presidential election is important, but should it really be that important? I mean, should we be this fixated on who the next president's going to be? Aside from the fact that now they're all using these TED Talk Talks microphones. That's the new thing. Miking the politician, and he walks around with his TED Talk microphones on. You see that Ted Cruz has the TED Talks microphone. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you think about. And no, the answers do not appear in the clouds just because you're driving around in the great beyond. I think the answers appear because you're traveling and you're seeing different things and you're thinking, and it gives you have the time to think about things. At least I do. And instead of thinking about what the latest outrage is, which I rail about all the time, if you get away from the stresses of life, and the stresses of modern life are significant. I mean, there's a lot of stress in modern life. But I'm using technology. I'm using the technology of modern life to have a really good time. And you can do that too. I mean, you can use technology for really good things too, to live up to those high aspirations that we all have, the most positive elements of our psyche. Here's a 69 Chevy pickup, red and white, beautiful. So you're more relaxed. So you know, there's a lot of pressures with technology in our life. I saw an article last week that said that social media is driving kids crazy. I laugh because it's like, social media is not driving kids crazy. You know, antidepressants are driving kids crazy. If you just break away from all that and get out and just put all that stuff down for 20 minutes and realize that if you're constantly plugged into what's going on, it is stressful because it brings everything up close and personal to you, the individual. That's the effect of that media. It's a tool to teach us what is going on in the world, and to that extent, it's a good thing. But the downside is that you're stressed out about things that really have very little impact on you as an individual. I mean, really, what does it matter what Ted Cruz said today or what Jeb Bush said today? If you're interested in politics, it's important, you know. But in the grand scheme of things, again, this gets into this whole question of these individual ticks. If you think of life, and if you think of our reality as a watchworks or a clockworks, there's all kinds of wheels within wheels, big wheels and little wheels clicking away constantly. Or not. You know, if you get away from it long enough, you realize that stuff has no impact on you, generally, in how you live your life. That's the lesson that politicians need to learn, is that, you know, you can do a lot of stuff in Washington, and yeah, it's important, but people are going to adapt. And they're going to do what they do because that's what we do. That's what liberty is. That's what freedom is. If we can hang on to our freedom, we're going to adapt and deal with problems. It used to be people moved out to these places like Oklahoma and Montana, got a little plot of land and planted some stuff and grew it and lived. And they didn't have to. They came out here to get away from that constant. Life is a small town. Technology has turned the whole country into a small town where everybody knows what you did last night. You know, oh, you put on Facebook that you got drunk, or you put on Facebook that you liked this girl, or you wore this to school, or you said this. How dare you? It's like you're living in a tiny town. We did all this technology to get away from babbittry and it up to live in this. We're all living in a tiny little town, except all you have to do is turn it off and just ignore it, because it doesn't mean anything in the long run. What matters is what you do in your life and the people that are most important to you.
Thanks to John Bachlin and Bachlin R&D for sponsoring podcast 343. Don't forget that John is going to do a webinar on March 31st at Bachlin.com, which focuses on 3D printing for production, planning, and tooling. Go to Bachlin.com for more information on that. BAKLUND.com, Bachlin.com. And thanks, John, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Want to thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Complete Home Service and Remodeling. Whatever your home or business needs, Brent and Julie can get it done for you. Check out their website, which is a linked to the graphic there at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast, the banner ad at the top of the From the Bunker blog. Also, Mad Case Studios, specializing in quality original automotive artwork. You click on their banners at thebobdavispodcast.com for more information. And thank you guys for listening and donating and sharing and favoriting at thebobdavispodcast.com, following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations again at thebobdavispodcast.com. They're definitely helping out on the road trip. More podcasts from the road from the bobdavispodcast.com remote podcast unit command. And, you know, I think I'm just going to go in, get myself a cup of coffee, and upload all these podcasts. So thanks for listening.